This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond.
And I'm Claudia Wu.
And we're the founders of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food.
Today's show is brought to you by Ecole Chocolat, the online school for those looking to become chocolate makers or chocolate experts. The great thing is, you can study at home at your own pace. So if you have a daydream but dream about having your own chocolate company
a
one
daydream.
Day... Oh, sorry.
If you, you can have a daydream. I like the idea of a daydream.
A daydream, day job... but dream about having your own chocolate company one day, you can make it happen. Be sure to check out their site at ecolechocolat.com.
Oh, I do daydream about chocolate sometimes.
I just dream all day.
So we have a great show for you today. Today's guests are Jody Berg, the CEO of Vitamix, and Ellen Bennett, the CEO of the apron company Headley and Bennett. These two women have a lot in common. They're both the boss, and they head companies that have experienced huge bumps in popularity. Once upon a time, it was okay to have a mediocre blender. Then the next thing we knew, every chef on the planet was talking about Vitamix. The same with Headley and Bennett aprons. Go to any hot restaurant today, and chances are the chef is wearing one of Ellen's aprons. A third thing they have in common? They make all their products in the United States. We'll be talking to both women about their careers, their must-have products, and their take on modern leadership.
Oh, and the last thing they have in common is that they'll both be at our Jubilee conference this Sunday in New York. It's our third Jubilee. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. It really does seem like yesterday that we were planning the first Jubilee absolutely last minute.
Absolutely last minute. I couldn't believe it. I had never done a conference before, nor attended a conference.
I had attended, but not planned.
It was a huge undertaking.
It was. Yeah.
I like to think that we've gotten better at it.
I think so. I think we get better. You know what's funny? I don't feel like we get better at the magazine every issue. I feel like that's still such a struggle for some reason. But the conference, yes, I feel like we do get better at it every year, which is at least we're improving at something, right?
I think it's easy because we're not the ones doing all the hard work on that day.
That's mostly true.
Our panelists and great moderators
and Christina Knowlton.
And Christina Knowlton, who does all our food and beverage.
She is the best. We have to give her a shout out.
Yes, she's the reason you're getting food that day.
If you're coming to Jubilee, make sure you come and say hi to us. We're really looking forward to seeing you. We have such a great day planned. We just added Padma Lakshmi to the lineup. Padma is going to be doing a reading of her new book and a book signing, our very first book signing. So come chat with Padma, get your book signed. If you're not coming to Jubilee, we'd love for you to follow along on social media. Could talk about that later, but we really have a fun inspirational day planned for you. Hopefully the weather will be better than today.
Oh my God.
Claudia and I, for some reason we dress like twins today. We blame Madewell. We're wearing identical Madewell sweatshirts, which is slightly embarrassing.
And gray jeans.
And
my jeans are Madewell.
My jeans are Madewell too. Thank you to our friends at Madewell. But yeah, we look like twins and we're soaking wet because we just ran here from the subway in the pouring rain. But I think according to my... Gilly's taking a picture of us in our matching outfits.
Oh yes, Gilly Houston is in the sound... What do you call this?
In the house.
In the house.
In the radio booth. I don't know. DJ Dave, what do we call this? A sound booth? I don't know. Whatever we call it. Anyway, we're wet. We've got poor Jody on the line listening to us talk about being wet and looking like twins. So let's go to our very first guest, Jody Berg, who is calling in from Vitamix headquarters in Ohio. Jody, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's great. I not only listened to you, but I had a chance to daydream about chocolate and all sorts of things. But we've got the same weather here in Cleveland, and it's raining just as hard here.
Well, Jody, you know, you're a mom, you're a CEO. You probably don't have enough to do. I think you should take some nighttime classes at home about having your own chocolate company.
Actually, I am taking nighttime classes, but it's because I went back to get my PhD. So
oh, wow.
I'm studying for my PhD at Case Western Reserve.
And what are you studying toward?
I am studying personal passions and personal purpose and how the power of having a personal purpose just drives everything you do. In fact, my latest research is what we do here at Vitamix is give people the opportunity to just bring their passions to life. And it sounds like Ellen is doing exactly the same thing with her aprons. So the recent research I did indicates that although having a company higher purpose vision does improve engagement and commitment, having a personal purpose makes it even stronger.
Wait, I love this idea of a personal purpose. Exactly. What does that mean? Like for anyone who's listening to this and who, you know, isn't going to take a class on this, what does that really mean? The whole personal purpose.
Personal purpose means identifying and understanding what it is. Like, why are you on the planet? Why am I here? What difference can I make in the world? What difference do I want to make in the world? And if people have the opportunity to identify that, it just gives you this sense of freedom and focus on what you're doing and why you're doing it and how you want to go about doing it. You know, interestingly enough, most of us spend more time planning a two-week vacation than we do actually planning our lives or planning for our lives and figuring out what we want to do. You take the time to step back and you say, you know what? What do I want to do? What am I good at? What do I love doing? What difference do I want to make when I'm here? Then it gives you an opportunity to kind of focus your energy and your passions towards something.
Yeah, and sometimes the planning is more fun than the actual vacation.
Yeah, that's true.
That shouldn't be the case, Claudia. Jody, so were you a planner your whole life?
No, I was not necessarily a planner my whole life. But when I was in college, one of the things I realized was, as I was talking to people and they were sharing with me, gosh, this is something that I like to do, or they're just in conversation, I realized that I had the ability to help them understand something or see something about themselves that they didn't see themselves, like almost a window into their future. And I was able to help them open up their eyes to it and seize the opportunities. And I realized, you know, I really love doing that. And so although I didn't really plan, I just started by recognizing what it is I really like to do. And when those moments happened, I just had this sense of fulfillment and a sense of, wow, that was really cool. I like doing that. So I've just decided at that point that whatever I did in my lifetime, I was going to be able to do that. And it's transferred down through my life where multiple different positions. I never set out to be the president or CEO of this company. I never set out to be the president of any company. I was out doing whatever I could do in a different jobs, different opportunities that gave me a chance to just fulfill my personal passion. But when my father decided to retire, he turned to me and he said, you know, we need to find someone to be the next president and CEO of Vitamix. And I said, well, I will help you find that person. I'll do whatever I need to do to help you find that person. I said, we just have to make sure that their vision for making the world a better place, for their vision for improving the vitality of people's lives is at least as big as mine, or I will be very frustrated.
Now, had you worked for the company at that point?
Yes. Yes, I was working here. I was working here, but in a different capacity. I was just heading up our household division and our international division. And I was having a ball. I didn't feel the need to run the company. I was loving what I was doing.
Now, you had worked for Ritz-Carlton before that, correct?
Yes, I did.
What did you do for them?
I was the director of quality, and talk about an incredible experience and understanding how culture fits into an organization and how giving people the opportunity to live their sense of purpose and their opportunity to serve and to see the value in that, I realized how powerful that was. It was a great, great education.
So you need to explain to us how the whole Vitamix thing happened. We know the history of the company. Your grandfather, a great-grandfather, founded it.
Mm-hmm.
The Vitamix blender has been around in one form or another since 1937. But over the past few years, it's just been all about the Vitamix. How did that come to be?
Well, part of it was about 10 years ago, we started to see a shift in... Now, I'll step back even farther than that. When we got into high-performance blender, we got into blending in general. The reason we did is because we saw the potential, and if you could use blenders to change the way that you eat, that you could use blenders to make things taste fabulous, make it simple, and be healthy, that this one tool could literally transform people's lives. And we have believed that, and we have been talking about that for just decades, ever since the 1940s. And so what happened about 10 years ago is people started to think differently about food. We had been on this path of, if it's convenient, if it's processed, if somebody puts it in our cupboard and it can last a million years, it's probably good. Fortunately, about 10 years ago, people started to realize that the actual nutrients, the phytonutrients, the value of the food that our body craves is in the living whole foods. But how do you eat enough of this delicious, raw, fresh, healthy food in order to get the nutrients into your body? Well, that's where Vitamix comes in. And so we were really a perfect tool for anyone who wants to increase the vitality of their lives, for anyone who wants to be able to eat enough of the healthy ingredients so that they can have as much chocolate as they want, right? We're the perfect tool for that. But the reason that our organization grew as much as it did has so much to do with our customers. The people that purchase the Vitamix machine, they become part of the Vitamix family. They become part of this amazing community of people around the entire world who are rallying together to just help the rest of the world understand, yes, the value of eating good food, the simplicity of being able to make it, and partnering with an organization that cares deeply about actually people being successful. Now, we're not about selling machines. At the end of the day, it's not about how many machines we sell. It's about whether people have been able to change their lives. And gosh, you know, if you can only imagine, if we could help change the way people think about food, we could possibly reduce the trends of food-related diseases in this world that have just been out of control.
So you do have a Vitamix Foundation. And that's, want to explain that a little bit, because the two are connected.
Yes, we have a foundation because the interesting thing is, for decades, we didn't have a foundation. We just included all of our opportunities to give and donate machines and help as just part of the organization. And then somebody said it'd be really helpful if you just kind of pulled that out a little bit. So the foundation and what we're doing in the foundation isn't new, but the foundation is now a vehicle to able to do that through. So one of the things I want to share is, we obviously care deeply about people, and we believe in the value of food for people. There's a lot of people out there that, you know what, the Vitamix can be an expensive piece of equipment, and there's people that need the Vitamix in order to eat. They've got medical concerns. We've developed programs to help people who can't afford a Vitamix, but absolutely believe in whole food nutrition and are committed and dedicated to using whole food to regain their health. And we're committed to helping them get the Vitamix in their hands so that they can regain their life back.
So if people go to the Vitamix website, they can find information about the foundation, but also ways to apply for some of the grants. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's grants out there for schools in the Northeast Ohio area, if they're interested in putting in a Vitamix in the actual kitchen of the schools, because we're not just consumer, we're commercial as well, and they can apply for grants to get started with their smoothie programs.
That's fantastic. Another thing we love about Vitamix, you make all your products in America.
Yes, we do.
Tell us why you've stayed in America when so many other companies have moved their manufacturing overseas.
Well, we have a philosophy on actually producing the piece of equipment and the tools that people want, not selling tools and equipment to people that we've decided to build. So it's kind of a different way of looking at it. By making all of our equipment right here, we're actually able to build the equipment and Vitamix machines almost to order, meaning we don't have warehouses and warehouses full of pre-built machines that then our sales department has to go out and sell. We have a team that's out there really understanding on the commercial side what is it that our commercial customers need, and then let's build the machines that they need. And it just allows us to be that much closer to our customers. I also have to tell you that when my grandparents moved the company to Northeast Ohio, it was because they felt that the people in Northeast Ohio were some of the hardest working, most dedicated people they ever met. And I have to say that extends to people in the U.S. I mean, I just think the workforce in the U.S., the people in America, they care. They care deeply. And you can't find a better workforce than that.
You've really resisted the urge to expand the company also in a million different directions. I was looking at the product offerings online, and it's pretty much blenders. You're not doing, 800 other things that really don't go back to what you're all about.
It goes back to that personal passion. We love blending. We see so much potential in blending and how it could transform people's lives that's what we do. We research it, we study it, we develop products for it, we help our customers be successful once they buy a Vitamix machine to us. It's all about blending.
And I'm sure you've gotten offers to sell the company. Why have you resisted selling?
No, we have a vision to improve the vitality of people's lives. And we, in our mission statement, it starts out by saying, build relationships for life. Those are things that if we were to ever sell the organization, sell the company, I don't know that those make sense on the public market. They make sense with a family business. We get to make choices as a family that says, you know what, let's invest in the company, let's invest in the employees, let's invest in the community, let's invest in our customers, let's invest in making a difference in the world. And we don't want to risk that.
We love
that.
We're
keeping it private.
So let's talk about you and being a mom. You have two young daughters, right?
Yes, 16 and 14.
Oh, wow, they're teenagers. They can come intern for Cherry Bomb.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Carrie's always looking for
chocolate.
Young interns.
We're always looking for interns. Old interns, too. We're happy to take interns of any age, actually. So tell us about raising two daughters today. I mean, having teenagers today in the social media age, that cannot be, and being a CEO at the same time. How do you balance all that?
It goes back to, I sound like a broken record, but this is why I'm studying it, is this personal passion. So the fact that what I'd like to do in my lifetime is to just make the world a healthier place and help people discover their dreams and live them. And I think about, as a mom, what do I want to do as a mom? Well, I want to help my girls figure out where they fit in the world and what their dreams are and how to live them. And I don't have to be there 100% of the time in order to make that happen, but I do have to put the systems and the people and the network in place that they can feel loved unconditionally and they can become the beautiful people that they're becoming. So I think it's a matter of just knowing and not getting caught up in the moment, but really focusing on the purpose, focusing on the why and what we're trying to do as a family and what, as a mom, I really want to give my girls in their lifetime.
We talk a lot about how tough the food world is if you want to have a family and raise a family. What are some things that you've done to make Vitamix a more family-friendly company?
Well, one of it is it's one of our values. So about 2004, we stepped back before we were going to go through growth, and we asked 98% of our employees, and we said, what is it that you value most about this family that you absolutely don't want us to change? And the first value that they said is, we value family, and we love the fact that it's family-owned, but we love the fact that we support families and we help each other take care of their families, and we don't want to lose that. So we ingrained multiple values, but that one of family included, and it's part of our culture. So it's really kind of fabulous if somebody walks in and says, you know what, my son or my daughter has a baseball game or an event that they have to go to. Any other employees, multiple employees, will raise their hand and say, you know what, got your back, I'll take care of this for you, I can go to the meeting for you, I can do this, go, be with your kids. Because they know as soon as it's their family that needs them, that somebody else will turn around and help them as well.
So Jody, I think when we think about CEOs, we think about people who are really intense and high-pressured, and I have to say, you sound so chill. How do you stay so?
Life is way too short to be intense and high-pressured.
What do you do to stay so chill?
Well, you surround yourself with amazing people who are passionate about what they're doing, and then you align on what you're trying to do, and then you get out of the way. and you let the amazing people around you, whether they're your employees or your customers or your vendors and suppliers, and you let them do what they do best. And I have to say, I'm just blessed by being surrounded by just incredible people.
Do you meditate?
I pray a lot, more so than I meditate. But it's kind of a meditated prayer.
Yeah, they're very similar, I'd say.
Yeah.
So prayer and lots of smoothies. That's the secret to life.
And lots of green smoothies. I just had one, actually, before I got on this call, and it had spinach and mint in it. Mint is one of my favorite ingredients in a smoothie, and a lot of people don't even think about it, but it's just, it's fabulous.
Do you have a garden?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love mint.
Better.
And I never thought about putting it in my smoothie. Okay.
Mint, and the other secret ingredient that a lot of people don't think of is lemon.
Huh. Okay, we're learning a lot here.
Yeah, and basil. Oh, I could go on and on about that, but we'll have to talk about that later.
Okay, you're always welcome back on the show. So, all right, so Claudia.
Oh, the speed round.
Jody, I don't think we've warned you about this part, but
don't worry. We
have a little speed round for you.
Coffee or tea?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Oh, did you say coffee
smoothie
or tea?
Smoothie or smoothie?
Both. I like them both.
Both.
What's your favorite kitchen tool?
That's kind of a loaded question. Actually, there was one day where I used my Vitamix 15 times in one day.
No.
What's your favorite thing to make on your Vitamix?
So I make everything in my Vitamix. My favorite thing is a hot soup with sweet potato and apple.
Yeah, someone told me that the Vitamix blades run so fast that they heat up your soup for you, so it cooks the ingredients while it's in there. Is that correct?
Yes, it absolutely, through friction.
Yes.
It's not just the speed of the blades, but it's also the shape of the container and just the whole design where it works in continuity with each other to heat up your... It can heat up your food, or it can chop frozen ingredients so quickly that the liquid will homogenize with it, and you'll have a sweet, delicious frozen treat in the same machine that could heat up and make soup. It's quite incredible.
What is in your refrigerator right now?
What's in my refrigerator?
Yeah.
It is loaded with carrots and spinach and... It's got some basil and some all these other... I love lemons. I like salads.
Do you have a favorite?
Some almond milk.
Oh, of course, almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite cuisine?
You know, I've had the wonderful opportunity to travel so many places around the world, and I don't have a favorite. I love them. I love so many of them. Everywhere I go, there's something I look forward to.
Is there anything you absolutely won't eat?
That I won't eat? I have not tried, nor do I want to try, snake blood.
Oh, boy. That makes two of us.
Besides your PhD, do you have any kind of pet projects that you're dreaming about?
I have a bucket list that is so big and so deep. I need to have enough green smoothies to live an eternity.
Where do you want to travel to next?
I would love to travel actually on vacation somewhere around the world versus traveling for work. And I do love beaches, and I love being outside, so I could either be at the top of a mountain or sitting on a beach or walking through the woods. Those would be my dream places to be.
You'd need a really long extension cord, though.
Yes.
For your Vitamix. You'd get a battery-powered version. What's one piece of advice you could give to someone who wants to do what you do?
I would say first and foremost, figure out what your passion is, because some people think they want to do what I do, but if it's not what they're passionate about, then that's not really where you should go. And if you find your passion, you will feel fulfilled in whatever you choose to do, and it doesn't have to be a matter of a particular position or role. Live your dreams. Dream, daydream, and then live it.
Well, that's fantastic. Jody, you are awesome. And we are so excited to meet you on Sunday. You have no idea.
Oh, thank you both. This was fun.
Ellen Bennett's in the studio right now, and she's moderating your panel, so you two can say hi right now on air. I know you haven't spoken yet.
I can't
it's
wait
on. Your
to
mic's
meet
on.
You in person, Ellen.
Hi,
I've just
Jody.
Read so much about you. This is so exciting.
Girl, you are preaching to the choir over here. I was like, yes, yes, I agree 100%. I'm so on the same wavelength as you. Find that purpose and freaking go for it.
So, Jody, get ready for Sunday. You're going to get mobbed when people find out the CEO of Vitamix is in the house. Oh, you're going to be one of the most popular people.
So anyone who wants a hug on Sunday and they're part of this
Jody, do you know that I'm like the biggest hugger in the freaking world? I'm going to attack you, so be ready. Be ready for hugs.
I'm starting to feel like you two might be like related and you don't know it.
My long-lost sister from another mister.
Mm-hmm. You two have a lot in common. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Jody, thank you for your time. We'll see you on Sunday. And everybody, will be back in a minute with Ellen Bennett from Headley & Bennett. Do you love chocolate? Turn your passion into a profession with École Chocolat School of Chocolate Arts. This award-winning school offers many programs for chocolate making so you can master techniques and gain the expertise and business knowledge you need to become a professional chocolate maker. You'll create mouth-watering chocolate recipes from professional instructors while interacting with your classmates and tutors all online. Become a chocolate expert with École Chocolat via your computer, phone, or tablet. Pursue your passion for chocolate. Visit écolechocolat.com today.
Have you listened to A Taste of the Past? It's a show devoted to connecting our current food world with its storied past. Host and culinary historian Linda Palacio welcomes chefs, scientists, authors, scholars, and revolutionaries into the studio to discuss food culture and history from around the globe.
Have you seen the culture of food change over the past 25, 30 years?
It's been incredible.
Linda covers content ranging from the history of black chefs in the White House to behavioral psychology and the evolution of Italian food in America. You can listen to A Taste of the Past anytime on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes and Stitcher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. Our next guest, I don't even know where to begin describing her. Sometimes the food world seems a little bit like high school. And if it were high school, this person would have been voted Miss Congeniality, most popular, most likely to succeed, and probably homecoming queen. So we are sitting here, as you know, with Ellen Bennett from Headley & Bennett, and we're thrilled to have you on the show for the first time.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome. Woo! Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I just flew in from LA like 2 days ago, and I'm strutting around New York clearly like I look from LA. Everyone's in black, and I'm wearing ridiculous pink tights right now. It's great.
Where are some of the places that you've gone to since you got here?
Well, I busted into Brooklyn Bread Lab about 20 minutes ago while they were making bread, and I demanded a photo shoot with them. So we went and stood outside, taking photos. I went to the Best New Chefs event a couple nights ago. I got to go to Mission Chinese. I've been running around like a crazy lady. I even went to Pasquale Jones last night with Dana Cohen, one of my boss lady heroes.
Oh, nice.
And it was delicious.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we haven't been there yet, but... it's on my list.
And their branding is on point. Pasquale Jones, every single letter is a different color, like yellow, pink, blue, green. It was really cool.
And do you only go to restaurants where they're wearing your aprons?
No, they actually wear someone else's aprons, but I don't care. I kind of feel like with an apron, it's kind of like you can have a bunch of pairs of shoes. You don't have to only wear Converse. You're allowed to wear Adidas. So I think the same. Sometimes people get nervous when they're wearing another apron brand. I'm like, it's all good. I still love you.
So, you know, similar to what we talked about with Jody and Vitamix, it literally was like overnight, you had to have a Vitamix. Everybody was talking about Vitamix. Every chef was talking about, you know, why he or she had to have a Vitamix in his or her kitchen. Same with Headley & Bennett aprons. It seems like overnight, you have just taken over the apron world, the chef world, the culinary world. What's going on? What's the secret to your success?
I mean, I fucking hustle really fucking hard. Like, I don't know. When I come to New York, when I'm in LA, I literally have 6 to 10 meetings a day. Every day I'm running around like crazy. Every second to me is precious because sort of like how Jody said, you know, you find something that you're passionate about and you find your purpose, and then you just fucking jump out that window and you go for it. And I feel like that's what I'm doing every single day and every single moment of my life. And I feel like if I'm not doing something every single moment, that's one moment I'm never going to get back, and I need to take responsibility for all this cherished time that I get. Because, you know, I grew up in the United States, but my mother is Mexican, and so I grew up being in Mexico a lot, and I had friends that didn't have floors in their houses, and all they ate were rice and beans if they had money at that time. And so I sort of grew up with a very Americanized lifestyle, but getting to see really poor people, and it put my values straight, right on the right track from day like five when I was a little kid. So it's all about how happy you are in life, not about how much money you have. Money is like a vessel to do the things that you want to do, but it is not the end all of end alls. And so I think that if you find the purpose and you just freaking go for it, money will come, but you shouldn't do it just for the money, because then your shit's all wrong.
Let's go back to your childhood for a second. I read that that you said that growing up, you were almost like the dad. You know, you had to take care of your mom. You took care of the family finances. That's a huge amount of responsibility for a young person.
Well, you cooked for your family.
Yeah.
You cook.
I actually started cooking because my mom is a nurse. So that's a 12-hour day. And, you know, I would watch her. My parents got divorced when I was about nine and a half. And I watched my mom go through hell in a handbasket, literally. And it was like not a pretty divorce either. And here she had two little kids that she was raising. And I thought, holy shit, I need to do something about this. What can I do? What can I learn? And I would see her come home late and eat random crap that was in our refrigerator. And I thought, okay, well, if I learn to cook, then she can come home and at least eat things that I'm making for her. So I would go on the internet back in the old days of like, I don't know, it was a gigantic computer we had sitting in our kitchen. And I would go on the internet on AOL.com and find recipes on allrecipes.com. And I remember making her bagels once. And I literally did not read the recipe, but it said 12 dozen bagels. So I was making bagels for like 5 hours for my mom. But I was like, I will not give up. She needs to have my bagels when she comes home. So she, imagine her entering this kitchen, and I was like 12. And literally every single counter space had piles of bagels that I had made her, because it was 12 dozen. So that's how I started learning to cook, was just cooking so that my mom could eat at night. And then I realized, oh my God, I love this. And I would make her anything from like beef stew to Mexican dishes like picadillo. And then I realized how much I liked that and how I liked seeing her taken care of. So then I started ironing her uniforms for work. And then I was like, maybe I should color coordinate her uniforms. So then I color coordinated the closet. And then I was like, well, you know what? I see her write checks. I can take care of that too. So I got her checkbook and I was like, I'm going to start writing the checks for you. And so I started taking care of the bills by the time I was like 13. And it just sort of kept escalating. And by the time I was 14, I had convinced Bank of America to give me like a debit card so that I could go do the grocery shopping for my mom. So I would take my little sister to the local Ralph's and we would push the grocery cart all the way home to like get the groceries to my house. So I was literally like her husband. And I loved it. And she let me, which was the best part. She was like, great, here's the card. Go do it. She didn't question it. So it gave me a lot of freedom and confidence that I could do anything that I wanted.
But at the same time, that's a lot of pressure for a young person.
Yeah, it was. And it was not an average upbringing at all. So by the time I was like 16 and 17, she had a condo and I was like renting it out for her. And I remember going to Office Depot and being like, so what do people, how do you rent stuff out? I guess I should get some application forms. So I like went and got generic application forms from Office Depot and put on like a sort of suit. And rented her fucking house out. I mean, I like, do these people know that I'm 16? I hope they don't.
Do you feel like you got to at least have a little bit of a normal teenage existence?
No, I don't. And I honestly, it sort of hit me a couple of months ago when I was standing inside our apron factory that has a slide and a tree house and a zip line. And I'm like, whoa, I'm sort of reliving my childhood the way I wanted it to be and the way I never got to have it. And even the way I dress, I sort of dress like a big kid. And I wear like big skirts and pink tights and bounce around and hug everyone. But I think it's sort of the best of both worlds, because I got to be an adult first and now I get to be a kid, but in an adult world. And if you think about that, that's the best way to live a life, because a child has no stops, no barriers. He's like, great, I want to go down a slide and I'm probably going to bust my knee at the bottom of the slide. Well, that's okay. I'll just stand up and do it again. And that's how a child thinks. And I admire that so much in kids. And I think that all adults should be that way.
You know, I wondered what had, you know, because you are so young, I wondered what had prepared you to run this company. How many employees do you have now?
We have 26.
Wow. And just this company that's growing so fast. But now I guess we know you've been, you've kind of been a CEO since nine.
Of my life, yes.
I suppose so.
Gosh. So how are you dealing with how popular your company has become and how fast it's grown?
It's definitely harder than how Instagram makes it look. You know, of course, there's a lot of me jumping around the United States and parading around with chefs, but there's also the side of me that is the CEO. And at the end of the day, I'm fully responsible for entire families. And that's no joke in any way, shape, or form. And so I take that very seriously, in the sense that I feel fully responsible for these people that work for me. And I'm every single day, I'm like a crazy woman trying to improve things and make things better and coming up with new systems and like getting to the bottom of every single error that ever happens in our company. You will never see an error happen at Headley & Bennett that doesn't get to the bottom of the root of it. And I'm always like, why did that happen? And who did it? And how did we do it? Not to like
point fingers,
scold people, but just to be like, what can we do to never have that problem happen again? And I think that that's been a huge reason for our success, because we never let anything go unhandled. And a customer is never unhappy with us, because even if it takes me getting on the phone, I'm like, why did that happen? And let's fucking fix it.
Yeah, I was just reading about that management style. I forget where, but I really had never thought about it that way, that it's not like, okay, let's point fingers, let's find fault, but let's get to the bottom of why this happened. And you can apply that to your life too.
Yeah. We've come up with such amazing solutions for permanent change in our company from mistakes. So now anytime a mistake happens, I feel like it's sort of like your lucky day. You get to resolve something that is never going to happen to you again if you actually resolve it properly.
So let's go back to before you launched Headley & Bennett. So you were working in kitchens.
Yeah.
What were some of the kitchens you worked in?
I worked at Providence as a line cook, which is a 2-Michelin-star restaurant in LA. And I also simultaneously worked at Bacco Mercat, which is a more casual restaurant, but equally as complex in terms of flavors. So I was sort of learning how to cook from a very elegant, high-end fashion, but then also very casual. So in one kitchen, I wasn't even allowed to touch the grill. In the other kitchen, I was grilling. So I was getting to apply things that I learned in both kitchens, which actually just helped me elevate my learning and my journey even more so, because I could apply things I learned at Providence in the other kitchen where I was actually allowed to do stuff. And then at Providence, I got to do more because they're like, oh, wow, she actually knows how to do that. Let's give her more opportunity. And I worked 3 days at each restaurant. And then in the morning, I was a personal chef for a family. And then I would do the farmer's market hustling aprons on Sunday and go to the farmer's market on Wednesday. And I mean, I literally was just a mad woman. I still am.
You still are,
but just different shape.
Did you go to college or culinary school?
I lived in Mexico for 4 years, from 18 to 22. And while I was there, I studied restaurant management, which did cahoots for me. I can't even remember a single thing that I freaking studied. All I can get to say is that I went to college. That's about all I got out of it. But yeah, so I studied that. And while I was studying that, I was like, God, these uniforms really suck. If only I could do something better. And I wanted to do chef coats. That was my whole thing. So later on, when I came up with, you know, aprons and all that, that was a sort of secondary thought to doing chef coats. And it became Headley & Bennett.
Do you still want to do chef coats? Because they are kind of...
Oh, we have chef coats now.
Do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and they are fucking bomb. Yeah. We have chef coats too.
Are you doing men's and women's? Because I...
Damn,
you know,
right,
obviously
we are.
The men's aren't that flattering on the ladies.
Excuse me. This might be TMI, but I am a 34 triple D. You better believe we did chef coats for women because those boobs do not fit properly in a men's coat. So yeah, we have a women's chef coat and a men's chef coat, and then we have a unisex one that works for women and men. And we even go up all the way up to 4XL, which typically people don't, but I wanted everyone to be able to be on the squad.
So yeah, tell us about the apron squad. That's a big thing.
You know, on Instagram, you have all these hashtags, and it sort of evolved over time. At the very beginning, our slogans were like, wear it loud and proud, wake up and fight. And then it evolved into, oh, this is our squad member, apron squad member, apron squad. And I was like, the apron squad. And it sort of hit me. And as we got, we have an apron factory now in LA. It's gigantic. It's 14,000 square feet. And as we were evolving what the hell we were going to do with this much space, I thought, God, I wish we could make a spot where all of our apron squad members could come and have events and have cookbook launch parties and do whatever the heck we want and support our community. And that community is the apron squad. So it's essentially anyone that's on the bandwagon, anyone that wears Headley and Bennett and that believes in our mottos, which is like, be nice to everyone, welcome everyone, work your ass off, don't sit on your laurels, wave to old ladies, like just be a good humanitarian, be a good person, try to change the fucking world, even in the tiniest ways by recycling, you know? And that's essentially, that is the squad.
So you have this big new fancy office now with your treehouse and your zip line and everything. How, obviously in the beginning you were bootstrapping this yourself, but how have you financed the growth?
It's still bootstrapped.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we literally, I am 100% owner of this company. I mean, it basically was like out of my living room. I got one order and then I reinvested the money into that order. And that's why I had so many jobs, because I was supporting myself with other means. And then as it started to get bigger and bigger, you know, I was able to hire my first employee at like $10 an hour, who's sitting here next to me, Allie. And, you know, and I just kept doing it like that. And then eventually, I guess about a year and a half into Headley and Bennett, I had so many orders and we had just been featured in the New York Times. And it was like the fucking ceiling was caving in with orders. And finally, my chef was like, all right, lady, my crazy apron lady, go get out of here. Like, what are you still doing at Providence?
You kind of got fired.
I sort of got fired / fired myself from Providence because I was losing it. And at that point, I just dedicated myself to it. But something I always say to young people that want to start their own business is like, great, you want to do that? Like, hold on to your day job, get your shit together, get your ducks in a row. You don't need to go out and get $2 million investment and hope that it works. Like, why don't you figure it out on your own for a little bit and coach your way through it. And then when it's really rolling, like either you can get money or investment or a loan and then keep going. But to this day, we haven't actually done no bank loan, no crowdfunding, nothing. Wow. This is, I will say this, I'm putting it out there in the universe, this is the year that we are going to get investors. But no, thus far we have grown this organically on our own. And it's been like, you know, sort of like Jody said, like you get to make your, make the calls and say what you want to do and what you want to support and how you want to do that. And that's really helped us grow and learn and stand on our own 2 feet and not be leaning on an investor, you could say.
That's tremendous, Ellen. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You really are an inspiration, just your enthusiasm and your success.
Speed round time.
Woo!
You already heard the question, so you've had time, but
all right.
Coffee or tea?
Neither.
What's your drink of choice?
I love juice.
What kind of juice?
I love juice. I don't drink and I don't smoke. I don't do anything. I really love citrus juice. So like orange, all that type of stuff. Just super tangy. I like that.
Favorite kitchen tool?
I love a Bamix.
What's
an
that?
Immersion blender. It's like a high finagled,
nice,
fancy ass Switzerland made $300 immersion blender that we used at Providence for everything. I love that.
What's in your fridge right now?
A crap ton of really posh condiments. Like Momofuku ketchup, Ottolenghi ketchup, really ridiculous stuff that stays in there forever because I work like 10 hours a day. So I rarely get home to eat anything anyway.
Favorite cuisine?
Love Mexican food. That's my people.
What foods are you craving these days?
I really love all Asian, like Thai, Chinese, Vietnamese, noodles, cilantro, peppers, like all that sort of stuff. It's and lime on everything. That's my jam right now.
Is there anything you won't eat?
Well, I am now the mother of a pig. So his name is Oliver and he's 4 months old. And I have to say I've been really curbing my enthusiasm on eating stuff that is pork related, although I literally just had bacon 2 days ago, so don't tell Oliver. But yeah, that's probably something I'm trying not to eat as much for his sake, insanity.
You have a lot going on, but do you have any other projects that you dream about doing?
Okay, so the latest project, this is more of a personal thing, I guess you could say. I just did a triathlon 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
And an international try, which was damn near psychotic. I got fifth in my division, which was really exciting. And we're going to do, I'm part of Chef Cycle, which is a 300-mile bike ride that you do in 3 days to raise money for No Kid Hungry. So that's sort of a big project that I'm in the middle of working on and training my ass off for, because I don't want to die out there. And then I want to do a half Ironman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm tired just thinking about that. Where do you want to travel to next?
I really want to go to India because of the colors, the culture, the food, the people. I sort of relate India to Mexico, where it's like highly rich in certain areas, and then the very next block is dirt poor, and that's very much how Mexico and Mexico City is. So I feel something very strongly towards that country, and I'm really excited to go see what the heck it's all about.
You already gave us a piece of advice for those people that want to follow in your footsteps, but do you have anything else you want to say to them?
Okay, so one of my very favorite sayings, and which is actually painted on the side of our building, if the front door isn't open, climb in through the window. And what that means to me is, like, you will always hit a roadblock, but don't stop there. Find a fucking window, and if there isn't a window, make a window. Like, there is a way to get into anywhere and everywhere that you want to go. You just have to first make the decision and then carry out actions to get to that end result. But literally, if you don't give up, you will get there. And because a lot of people give up, your chances of succeeding are actually really high if you just keep going, because the campus keeps getting bigger and bigger the further you get, because people have dropped off the bandwagon, if that makes sense.
Well, that is great advice. Thank you, Ellen.
And, thank you.
And don't burn out. We're a little worried about you over in this corner.
I think she can drop a triathlon if she gets tired from her busy schedule.
Or a bike race or anything else. But you really, you're an inspiration. We're super psyched to hear more from you on Sunday at Jubilee. Thanks in advance for moderating the How to Be the Boss panel. You're obviously an ideal person to be moderating that panel.
Oh, thanks, ladies.
And for everybody who's listening, make sure to check out our Instagram account. We're giving away a Hedley and Bennett apron. Thank you, Ellen.
Hell yeah.
And a signed copy of Jody's Vitamix cookbook. Thank you, Jody. One lucky winner will get that. And as mentioned, our Jubilee conference is this weekend. We look forward to seeing those of you who are attending. If you don't have a ticket, you can follow all the action on social media. Just look for the CB Jubilee hashtag.
Big chocolate kisses to our sponsor, Ecole Chocolat. Check out the different classes they offer at ecolechocolat.com. If chocolate is your passion, you just might want to make it your profession. Thanks for listening.
You're the bomb.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jackie Gable, exploring the world and sharing my adventures on Instagram at No Leftovers. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Becca Parrish for her fearless female attitude and passion for food that's just contagious.